Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hey, how you doing today? Just want to let you know that I will not die from my link pheasant. Dan Washko here, kicking off the June 15th episode of the Linux Link Tech Show. And before we go into our promo, preceding the show, we had a couple of songs playing, and people are asking, who was that? Who was that masked man? What we had before the show was kicked off with Vietnam Singa from Exorcista de Style. Then we had Dead Puppy doing a cover of a Boy Sucks song called My Country. And then finishing up with Can't Make Up My Mind from Van Kloken. Exciting stuff. We enjoyed it. We got a great show tonight. We're going to kick into our promo. I'll let Lake touch that off right now.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
That was Link's promo.
That was
Barbershop. Tech Show.
I'd
promo.
Like to burp, but I can't this time. I've never been able to do that.
You're screwing around over there. Your mind's not on the show again.
Yeah.
He's too busy looking
trying,
at his.
I'm trying to find
his,
the music for the
news group.
Halftime show.
Because we're prepared again.
Sure.
We're always prepared.
The kings of procrastination.
I'm Dan Washko again. Across from me is Mr. Link Fezzanin, and behind him, checking him out, is Alan Metzler.
I was wondering why my butt was getting hot. He's staring at me again.
He's trying to sniff out some drugs in your ass.
Hardly.
I remember that day at the airport. I had to beat him down with a belt.
Yeah. Down.
With a leash.
Down, Alan.
Back, Alan. Back. Get back. Shh. And Alan was there. Now, put that tongue away.
It's good to take an abuse every now and then. You know?
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, you know, we, of course, have had this ongoing GIMP war where we have.
Which hasn't been very active lately.
No, not lately, but we still refer to it a lot, and we've GIMPed pictures of one another and. Compromising situations and things.
We should have given Alan the peanut tongue. The peanut pea tongue. What are you knocking off my desk now?
That's my mic.
Hey, he hasn't been attacked by. The last couple of times he's made it without being attacked by the keyboard of death.
Well, that's because I moved it to the back.
I was going
to
say, where is the keyboard of death?
It's in the back, sitting on top of the monitor, letting it heat up.
Cool.
He's not letting me touch it anymore to move it.
Do not touch the keyboard
of death. I take care of that beforehand. And you know what? I noticed something.
No,
I was going to say we're all using our D-Link USB Wi-Fis. Except for you, of course, because you're back in the dark ages with PC card technology.
I'm using my D-Link PCM CIA Wi-Fi card. So.
But you don't have the USB. Ooh, this sucker's getting
hot. Well,
why
would I need the USB
if you leave it there for a while, yeah.
It's like you could just leave it in there for a while, it heats up, and then you can, in the wintertime, you can stick it in your pocket like a pocket warmer.
There you go.
Or you can leave the
That's why it's small enough, so you can just, you know. Nice and warm and everything.
Pocket rocket.
You could do whatever you want with it, Dan.
Big news this week. Firefox 9 was released.
Woohoo!
And I guess...
Big news.
Everybody
has... Right now, Dan's the only one using it.
Just don't put it on an older installation because it doesn't work.
Get rid of the older installation.
I run in... my Slackware right here is Slackware 9.0. And I cannot run... Firefox V.9 won't run some library issue thingy.
Is it the...
8 runs fine.
XFT?
No, it's a GLibC232 or something it needs, and I have 231, and I can't link it. It still doesn't work. Something like that.
That's a bummer, man.
It doesn't work on... I have an 8.1, Slack 8.1 box at work, and it doesn't work on there either.
Are you using it on anything?
Yeah, I'm using it on my regular workstation at home, and it works great for that. Like I downloaded it first thing last night. As soon as it hit the presses, I was right on it. You know.
Right. I thought they did a tremendous job of fixing up whatever the heck I was pissed off about from the release candidate 1, because it worked like a charm when I downloaded and installed the 9 version 9 and version 9. Of course, the one you grabbed didn't have it, but there's one with an installer, an official installer, which will actually pull up a little installation menu, kind of like OpenOffice does.
Oh, okay.
And you just tell it where you want to drop it, and I put it in Opt Firefox. Where'd you put yours, Alan?
Well, I haven't downloaded it yet for Linux, but I do run it at work on Windows box.
Oh, and he downloaded it for Windows.
Well, sort of responsible for, like, trying to keep everybody, the spyware down in our department. So I downloaded it and forced everybody to upgrade to it. So far, I haven't heard any complaints from them. So that's a good thing.
Now, I had to fix somebody's machine at work that died. Their hard drive was dying, so I replaced their hard drive and reinstalled the OS. And, of course, I put the latest Firefox and Thunderbird on there. And whenever I turned it to the person, you know, I said, yeah, installed the software to... the operating system, and I also put the Firefox in there, and she's like, oh, thank you. I was really excited to hear about that. I'm like, yeah,
cool.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Firefox. Rawr. Meow. It's really good. It's awesome, and all the extensions that I want work really well.
I thought you said there were some that they didn't have on.
Those were themes. Well, there is an extension of the calendar.
Your calendar or something like that.
The calendar is not available yet for 9, the Linux version of 9. And I don't think the OS 10 version of 9. I think it's just a window. Maybe it's... No, it's... They have the Linux PPC version, but not the Linux version. And I like the preferences toolbar, particularly at work, that has the... fast switching of the proxy, if you're going to use a proxy, in case I need to get around the fire. Not the firewall, the filtering stuff.
Uh-huh.
You just flip on my proxy. I like that. That's pretty nice. But I use that in Mozilla. But the web developer toolbar I use all the time, but that's available for 9. The one extension that did not work for me was undo tab close.
Okay.
And I tried installing that, and it hung Firefox when it tried to start. It wouldn't start. But all my plugins, I put my plugins in, Flash, did the crossover plugin, Java. I noticed the Java plugin on Slackware. I don't know about any other distribution, because I really don't use any other distribution, except for the Gen 2. The J2RE... the Java 2 Runtime Edition.
Right.
The plugins in there do not work with Mozilla Firefox. If you get the Java 2 software development kit, there's a plugin in there for Netscape. It's a Netscape version compiled with GCC 3.2, and that works without a problem with Firefox. For me, on Slackware, current. And Slackware 9.1.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, they're at release candidate 1 for Slackware 10. So we're looking at probably in within a month or so, we'll have Slackware 10.
Oh, I think so, because we got Slack 10 release candidate 1 is out. Just came out. Was it today or yesterday? Today, right?
I think it was today. Patrick brought that to our attention. I'm surprised they're going right from 9.1 to 10. There's no 9.2.
No,
but
9.2,
then I guess there was. Was there an 8.2? No.
Wasn't there an 8.2?
I don't think there was. I think there might have been a 7.2, but not. Well, you know, you got to think. Okay. They usually change versions
right
when there's a change in the kernel. And we're at the 2.6 kernel now. So.
Yeah, but I thought he wasn't releasing 2.6 and 10.
Huh?
I thought he wasn't going forward with 2.6 in the installer and version 10, Slackware 10.
No, that was 9.1.
Okay.
I would assume that they're going with 2.6 and 10 because they changed a major number.
Well, I could have swore I saw something about that somewhere.
Well, maybe you better look it up.
I'm going to.
Or have the newsman over there look it up.
I'm going to. The newsman is busy downloading music for us to play for
He's over there. He's busy clogging
music
up
for us
the
to
pipe.
Play for our,
well,
our
I'm working my best at clogging up the pipe, yeah.
Well, we got our answer already on the chat. I'm surprised they're not doing 2.6 and they're switching to 10. They're going to version 10. Which means, I don't know, usually they don't switch.
Yeah, see, James, there you go, James. You go, man. See, I told you, Dan, they're not going to 2.6 and 10. It's testing still. All right, I think it's 10 is supposed to be fully 2.6 compliant.
9.1 was 2.6 compliant.
I mean fully, like the entire thing, but I think he's not going to do 2.6 on the installer. Like offer it, but it's not the kernel the installer is working off of. Yeah, there you go. This is
you
the one,
know, whatever.
I think it was ready and one of the delay releases.
Well, I'm running 2.6, 2.6.7. It runs great.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, and I'm running 2, whatever the hell you
2.2.8. Right. Oh, that was a fiasco. You and your onboard sound card.
You're the man. You just come over to fix it for me, and of course, you know, I neglected to tell you that I already tried all that crap already once.
Oh, did a. You need to get yourself an external sound card.
Yeah, I need to get a
well a PCI
better,
sound card.
I need to get a better computer.
And I was gonna look in work for a sound card for you today, but I forgot.
Just need to get a better.
I have a Sound Blaster 16 ISA, but you don't have ISA slots in your system, do you?
I don't think so. I think they're all PCI.
Maybe you can find a USB sound card.
Have one of those flaky. What we're talking about here is Dan finally came over to help me get my sound card working under ALSA. And I have a SIS. What it comes up in reports as a SIS was a 7018.
Yeah, SIS 7018.
7018 sound chip. And it runs under the Trident driver under OSS, but it's like crippled. You can't record anything. You know, just it's an output only kind of thing. And I was sure that, you know, I spent some time playing with this before, but I was sure that with Dan's help, I could, you know, I had to be able to get this thing going.
I let you down.
But basically what happened is Dan came over and we both spent an hour banging our heads against the wall and it still didn't work. So at least I was happy that I wasn't crazy, you know.
Somebody else can beat themselves
up.
Yeah,
I wasn't crazy the first 5 hours beating my head against the wall when it didn't work and I transferred myself back to OSS. And, you know, it was just good to see confirmation that somebody else who actually knows what they're doing could not get my sound card to work either, so.
See, what we do is we go into the BIOS, we disable it, then we put a real sound card in there.
Now, that's what we got to do, but.
only you would manage to find a motherboard with the onboard sound card that does not work at all.
With anything.
Well, it works, like I said, it works all right with the OSS drivers. You just can't record on it, which has not been a huge issue. But I thought, you know, if we could get it running under also, that, you know, maybe that would, like, improve the sound and stuff like that on it. But it just is not to be, because when you got ALSA going on there, you get no sound at all.
What was the, in OSS it loads the Trident module, but it's a funky, what was something 3D or whatever it is, or 4D? What was that?
4D Wave something?
Yeah.
It was
Trident. Was it Trident 4D Wave?
Trident 4D Wave or something like that.
Yeah, that was really, it fit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, just you guys just,
you just
wander
keep
off. Wander off. Let me hang in here while you just drop the topic.
I'm having that problem of typing tonight, so.
Yeah, well, I personally never, I mean, originally I had some problems with ALSA, but when I figured out what I was doing, it was pretty easy after that.
Yeah, but don't you think the problem with ALSA is that it you know, it takes 75 drivers to do the same thing that OSS takes one driver to do?
Well, yeah, but for some reason they want to switch to it. I guess it has better overall results. I don't know.
Results.
I don't know. But I know
the
that
results on my motherboard are that ALSA doesn't work.
I know in playing with it, we actually learned about how to control the hot plugging crap.
Yes.
By
that
putting
was a, that was a plus.
Putting the modules in the blacklist. And when I did that, and I put my BT Audio and the Sound BT878 module in my blacklist, now it doesn't load up anymore.
There you go, man.
And conflict with the OSS support in ALSA. So everything runs a lot better there.
We finally have success here.
Do we?
From my bad typing skills here.
Ha-ha. All right, we're getting racy music to play for you on our halftime, which is actually pretty soon, really.
We weren't 10 minutes late. You know, one thing I did want to make mention of that I didn't cover... What's the date on this? Well, it'll help if you look at the top. It was June 6th. That was about a week ago.
Right.
A week ago, morning call. If you're in the Lehigh Valley area or nearby, computer support specialist, if you're a Linux, consider yourself a Linux professional or Unix professional, you're out of a job or you're looking to switch job, a computer support specialist for SCS, that's Software Consulting Services. Which is our good friend Richard Cicelli.
Yeah, we know that guy.
Newspapersystems.com runs a great business that supports newspapers, does laying out their classified ads. They have a program and a whole system for laying out classified ads that actually runs on Linux. And we were over there. We saw it does a tremendous job.
Like 200 some odd papers, or even more than that, I think.
Yeah, they're international.
Yeah.
So they're looking for a installation and support staff member with Linux and Unix experience, publishing, plus if you have publishing application experience. So check them out. You might be able to find it on mcall.com. You'll probably be able to find it on their site at newspapersystems.com, job posting. But I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah,
because Richard Cicelli's been really good to us, and, you know, see what comes of it.
Good
know,
guy gave us there. Some space to meet at a few times when we really needed it for our local Linux user group. So he's definitely got a plus next to his name in our book. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So what else? What else? We talked about Firefox, and it appears that aside from your one workstation and all of my workstations except for this
two of my workstations. It's my laptop, which is running Slack 9, and my workstation at work, which is running Slack 8.1.
Well, I was saying, if you would let me finish my sentence,
all
of my
systems,
except for this Gen 2 box and one of your systems, are all up to Firefox 9.
Yes.
So I was right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And
we're just babbling along like a brook there. And you know.
So Now, the guy I work, one of the guys I work with, the media support specialist, he's the AV guy. He is getting his master's in technology, and he's taking a web development class.
Okay.
And he's struggling because he doesn't know anything about web design or anything, so I'm helping him out. And I downloaded the Mozilla because I couldn't stand it anymore. He was looking at his page through Internet Explorer and looking at the sources, and we bring up Notepad to look at the source. Bugged the hell out of me. So I just threw on Firefox 9 with the web developer toolbar, made everything a whole lot better. I just couldn't stand it. And I told him, I said, look, go download Firefox 9. And what I don't understand, and this confuses the heck out of me, is at the beginning, no, it was last week, all right? He got, through work, a PowerBook G4 with a 15-inch screen, laptop, right?
Sweet.
He hasn't touched the damn thing till today. He has somebody else setting it up for him. And I'm like, you should take that and do all your stuff
all
on
over
there.
It, man.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Why don't you take it home and do your stuff at home on there? Do it all on there. Slap Firefox on there. Push aside the Safari. Firefox.
Yay.
And Thunderbird.
Right, Thunderbird. Definitely
not the
Thunderbird.
Drink, not the liquor, Thunderbird.
Well, the liquor's good, too.
Well,
although we won't turn anything else down there.
You really can't plug that into your system now, can you?
Well, yeah.
You can try.
Depends on how messy you are.
Yeah, that's right. Get enough of that Thunderbird rolling around under your skin, you can plug it just about anything, I guess.
Yeah. All right, so we covered Firefox, and everybody's happy with Firefox. I haven't heard any complaints yet, except for you, who say you can't run it.
You can't run it, yeah.
Some of the themes do some funky stuff with rendering certain pages. I posted that on my blog, and it was on the discussion list, the LUG discussion list.
Right.
That if you do about plugins, it, you know how it's laid out in nice like little tables and it's high, but it totally ruins that, and it just looks like it's showing plain text.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but that's the way it is.
That is not good.
I don't know. So now I'm just I forget what theme I'm using. I don't know. I like it though. It's nice. That's great.
I'm using the default one that came with it. What is it? The OS X, the Mac theme or whatever. What did they call it?
Default theme.
Yeah.
Stripe?
It's their Mac theme or whatever it's called.
I thought it was XP theme.
No.
Is it Stripe?
Get out of here.
Is it called Stripe? Pinstripe?
I really
Pinstripe?
Don't, I don't
Pinstripe?
Know, man. It's whatever
Pinstripe.
The default one is.
Pinstripe.
The one that you get with downloading the software.
Default.
It's the little balls in the corner that go around kind of thing.
And it says default.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, the little balls in
the
corner.
Yeah, little balls in the corner.
That turn blue, and then pink, and then blue, and then pink. And then when your page loads in, it just, there's a big white flash. That's the, what theme would that be?
This is the
adult,
blue
ball theme.
The adult theme show.
The adult theme. And then Alan's would be like this, like butt with a turd coming out of it.
Oh, no, man.
This is the gross Alan out show. How long can we pick on Alan before he pukes on the floor?
You know what? We could roll right into Fedora, or I could tell you about the hoagie guy.
I've been dying to hear about the hoagie
guy
since last week, man.
The man, the myth. The legend of the hoagie guy. I'll tell you about the hoagie guy. You sure you want to hear the hoagie guy?
I want to hear about the
hoagie guy. You want to hear about the hoagie guy. You'll like this.
I'm waiting on bated breath since last week about the hoagie guy.
Now, neither of you grew up in this area.
Nope.
So did you ever hear of the Lehigh Valley Racquetball and Fitness Club?
Yeah, on the radio.
On the radio. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a racquetball fitness club, obviously. They have four locations in the Lehigh Valley, and they're 24 hours. There's one on the West End in Parkland area. There's one just outside on the outskirts of Center City, Allentown. There's the one in Bethlehem, which is right down the road from my house. And there's one in Easton. Right after I graduated college, My friends were going to the racquetball club, so I got a membership there. And it was cool because it was 24 hours, so I go there after work when I was doing a psychology thing. And get there around 8, 9 o'clock. Sometimes I get in there later because my hours were really flexible, midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was this guy that is always there wearing a T-shirt that always had like a hoagie place on it. So you got the name dubbed the hoagie guy because the T-shirts that he wore were always advertising some hoagie place. Well, this guy was like weird. He had those funky looking eyes.
You think?
And the shirt didn't tell that to you?
And he'd be there
you
for like...
You call the guy the hoagie guy. Yeah. He was weird.
He'd be there for a while, and you never see him lifting weights, but he'd be on like the treadmill or the stair climber or something, or the exercise bike for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. He'd go in and out of the locker room.
Toning those butt muscles,
yeah,
huh?
Right, he was doing something. So, but really, what really set this guy apart from everybody else, right, is when you go in the shower, okay?
Oh, man.
It was a community shower. One of those big, you know, just a big room, shower heads all around the walls, okay?
I'm having visions of the end of the story now where the hoagie guy walks in after Dan wearing nothing but a bun.
Oh, no, wait. You're
somebody think we're on the right track here, though.
You're getting somewhere, but that's not it, okay?
Man.
Now, you walk in into the shower, and it was basically the door was right along the one wall. And there wasn't any shower heads along that wall. Well, actually, I think there were. It was a rectangle. So you were coming in on the shorter end of the rectangle was
right.
The door's part of the wall. And then you turn to the left, and there would be the whole shower room.
Right.
So people would be in there, and I don't know how he managed to do it, okay? But every time you'd walk in there, he would be in the furthest corner on the right, okay, all the way in the back. You couldn't get any further away from the door. And he would be under the shower, turned, facing the door. Okay? And guess what he was doing all the time? He was shaving his genitals in the shower.
Oh, man.
He had his hoo hacker pulled up as far as he could, and he was just shaving the underside of his genitals, man. And there was this big stream of shaving cream that would go like right down the center of the shower, and like as soon as you walked in, you couldn't miss it because he'd stand about 3 or 4 feet out from under the shower head, almost in the middle, just enough so as soon as you walked in, you would see him, and he'd be sitting there shaving away, and the meatheads would come walking in. You know, the big steroid guys. And he'd be like, oh, you son of a bitch. Do that at home. And they'd be yelling at him and cursing and throwing the F-bomb at him. And they'll kick your ass. Get out of here. Do that at home. And they just yell at him. And he'd stand there yelling at him. And he'd just shave away. He'd be sitting there shaving away. It was the most messed up thing in the world. And what was even weird, right, is he did this every night.
Oh, man.
A few times, you know, we decided to go to other racquetball clubs like the West End or the Bethlehem one. He was there. He was at those clubs too. You go occasionally, like throughout the week, maybe there would be one day you wouldn't see him, and that would be a day he's at another club. But he was there at all hours too. He'd be there like 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like no matter when he was there. He was
just waiting for you to go to the shower so he could shave his tallywhacker.
Oh, he was something.
Oh, man.
And then he'd get in the jacuzzi afterwards. And, you know, after you see that, you don't want to go in the jacuzzi anymore.
Sure. After I see that, I'm not sure I want to go to a racquetball club anymore.
Are you a member of the racquetball club?
No.
And that's a shame because, you know, one guy like that just pisses everybody off. They want to hit him with a brick or something. But, you know.
You don't want to touch him at all. That's the problem.
And you got to be careful.
That's why the meatheads didn't hit him, because they were just like, yeah, get away from you with that, man.
And the people,
point that thing towards
nobody
the wall.
Wanted to use the shower heads right next to him, of course. And you had to be careful because the shaving cream from his balls was running down the center of the shower. Oh. So it was like, oh, into the drain. It was terrible. Like, everybody would pack in at the opposite end, and he'd just be there, zip, zip, zip.
You know what? This is it right here. This is the all-time grossest episode of the Linux League Type Show that we've ever had. I think.
You don't think about my friend smashing his nuts in the toilet seat.
Oh man!
I'd forgotten about that one, but now I remember.
But you know, on that same sort of track, for those of you who are disgusted but still listening because you're fascinated by this stuff,
because you're fascinated about this train wreck.
We have an adult themed intermission song tonight. Did you happen to catch who the people were who created this wonderful thing?
It's a three-person a cappella jam originally created in 1997 while driving on the Billy Graham Parkway in North Carolina on the way to a Phish concert.
Then say who
it's
by?
Colin Mulcher, Patrick Martone, and Becca. And he doesn't have a last name.
Yeah, and these guys, obviously some drunken college students, took the liberty of recording this wonderful piece of songwriting brilliance and sticking it on the archives.org website, which is where you can find it. And it is called Boob Titty.
Boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty breast nipple. Boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty breast nipple. Billy Graham brother Billy Bob took a bow. Minister to Millie Ina Graham crack a wow. Billy Graham had a brother Billy Bob took a breast nipple. Boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty breast nipples. Billy Graham's brother Billy Bob took a bow. Minister to Millie Ina Graham crack a wow. Billy Graham's brother Billy Bob took a bow. Breast to Millie went silly with a cow. Yeah, Billy Graham had a brother Billy Bob. Met his tooth and went silly with a cow. Yeah, Billy Graham said breast nipple. Billy Graham's brother Billy Bob took a bow. Minister to Millie Ina Graham crack a wow. Said Billy Graham's brother Billy Bob took a bow. Went silly with a cow. Yeah, boop a boop a boop a boop titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty boop breast nipple. Boop a boop a boop a boop titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty. Billy Graham's brother Billy Bob took a bow. Went silly with a nipple set. Billy Graham's brother Billy Bob took a bow. Minister to Millie Ina with a cow. Yeah, Billy Graham's brother Billy Bob took a mouth to breast nipple. Boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty boop a boop a boop a boop titty titty breast nipple.
Hi, I'm Matt from Lugger Radio in the UK.
Oh, that is so jolly.
Who was that? CBBC presenter.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm interviewing Boop Trunks.
I was doing my impression.
Anyway, we're Lug Radio.
I'm doing my impression of Dan there because, you know.
It looks like
he's jolly when he does his. No, it's Alan who looks like Hack. But Dan's a
jolly guy. Which is why he looks like me?
Alan.
He doesn't look like me.
Lincoln's got the tall hat, so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Is his surname Lincoln?
No, his surname's Fester.
His name's not Lincoln.
Lincoln.
His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Link on.
The link on to Linux.
Link, anyway,
link,
again,
link,
we're
Lug
Radio.
Yeah, we're Lug Radio over in the UK. That's lugradio.org. Come on to our website.
We're British as well. We drink. We like drinking.
Cavemen.
Point of time, brilliant.
Yar.
So anyway, we're going to Lug Radio because we're only been given about 30 seconds. So come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like. If you like the Linux link tech link show, I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
Yes, we're back on. This is Link at the Linux Link Tech Show.
Right, Dan? Yeah, I just, all I can hear is that wonderful bumper music there blasting in my ears.
Well, we had to have something play in there.
Dead
some
out.
Some sort of
Dead Air Allen over there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a little
The show comes to a crashing halt. Yeah, when
Allen, whose contribution is...
I can bring the tuning fork in next week.
The what?
What we need to do
the
is tuning fork. Yeah, we no. What we need to do is we need to have sound effects of like crickets chirping and crap.
Well, yeah, we know what we also need to do what? Is when I got that new workstation last week, Mark also dropped off the hybrid, and it's been sitting in my house for like almost a week, and we haven't tested it yet.
And we wasted all this time earlier.
Yeah, I wasted all this time. So you can't complain to Mark about Mark anymore. It's my fault now. And
I gotta find out how much.
Oh, yeah. So it's not Mark's fault. It's my fault. And thank you, Mark, for dropping it off.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll hopefully get that up and running, maybe by the next show.
Cool.
If we don't forget next week.
We are technical people, and toys are good. Right?
Yeah.
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 So has everyone patched their kernel?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not Link. He doesn't care.
No.
When I start executing that code on his server tonight, he'll be like, what happened?
That's cool, but you got to have an account first, right?
I do have an account.
Do you?
Not anymore. No, see, I...
Aha!
I had to because I know someone who has an account on my server that would most definitely execute that code.
Yeah,
to see what would happen.
I know the person you were speaking of, actually.
So that's why I had to patch that immediately.
Well, that's kind of why I told you about it, because I figured, you know, the way you would find out would be that person would do that. And
I didn't think. So yeah, I did that in my workstation, and I patched the 2.6.6 kernel, and then the day later, 2.6.7 came out, so I had to patch up to 2.6.7, and now I'm. Oh, there we go.
Perfectly safe, huh?
Yeah.
You never know.
And for those of you who don't know what the hell we're talking about, there was a couple of days ago a kernel exploit was released, and it's just this little 20-line snippet of C code that causes some kind of a. You remember what the error was?
A fatal error, obviously.
Buffer overflow thing or something
like
that. It's
always a buffer
overflow.
Crashes
your system. And pretty much, you know.
And it could be executed by anybody.
Yeah, it can be executed, compiled and executed by anybody in your system. So you got to kind of watch out who has access to your system. If nobody really has access to your system, then, you know, it really doesn't make sense to waste any time patching it because nobody can do anything on there, sort of, kind of.
Righty right.
So.
And speaking of access to systems and security, the honeypot went into action this week.
Yes.
We're not sure that anybody's even noticed yet.
The impossible to crack honeypot, right? Because there's nothing running on it.
There's nothing running on it, yeah.
We put up, for more information.
Now, it'd have been more fun if we just stuck a Windows.
LBLog site.
Yeah, if we just stuck like a Windows 98 machine.
Well, eventually we're probably going to get to doing that, but the idea is to throw up a server that we could practice trying to crack into. And I've given it some thought. Of course, when you say that there aren't enough services running on it, and I agree, but one of the other things that makes it easier, I guess, to try and crack into one of these things is if you actually have people using it. Because right now we're at the point where, well, we know there's a root account on there. And I had my wife set a really hard password,
right,
combination of upper, lowercase numbers and whatever characters. And then there's two other accounts on there, and I have no idea what they are. So I don't even have access to the machine.
Right.
And trying to break into it, I don't know.
I don't think there's any way to get in.
But
I mean, here's the gist of it is we, you know, set up a... what's running? Fedora Core 2?
Fedora Core 2.
Box on the internet, running Fedora Core 2, default installation.
Default server with office workstation stuff.
But the only services are running are what? It's running SSH
and
Apache. What hell are you going to get into that, you know?
RPC's on there, too. Port's open, the RPC port.
Well, it's just because a port's open doesn't mean it does anything, you know?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. They wanted a default, and I figured, well, all I want to do is slap this thing up there. I didn't get through the process of setting up the mail server, even though that's installed. And I didn't want to go through the process of setting up a named server, setting up bind. They just said do a default install, and that's it. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens if it turns out, you know.
A lot of nothing.
If you want to participate in this, go to the linuxlink.net and go to the forum section. Under the forum is a honeypot forum, and there's a FAQ in there which explains how you can participate in this. Basically, the only requirement is you document your progress, and if you crack the machine, you publish your documentation. Or you give your, you know.
And you don't turn it into a machine you can attack other machines from.
Yeah, you don't use it. You don't use it as a zombie. You don't attack other machines from it. It's just an educational thing.
Right, because if you crack it and you use it as a zombie, we have, you know, we have 100 people. We have 100 systems administrators that are already playing with this box. And if you do something like that, we will find you and hunt you down like a dog and bring the meat grinder.
And not only that, then you ruin the whole service, too,
yeah,
for
right.
everybody
we're
to do.
Yeah, just trying
it's
to
a fun thing.
Something fun to play with.
Go crack away. I did. I found an evaluation copy of Windows Server 2003.
Oh, yeah.
So
ooh.
That's like a 120-day evaluation. I figure we could throw that on there, maybe. But anyway, we can move right on to...
could use it as a BB gun target, too.
Yeah. Well, you want to crack it, right?
Yeah, with the BB gun, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, move right on to Fedora Core 2.
Okay, yeah.
And this has been my actual first experience. Well, not first experience. My only experience with a Red Hat-based distribution in like 3 or 4 years now.
And this is, but wait, this is in response to, who was it suggesting that we start doing some, one of our listeners suggested that we start, I can't even remember who it was now. It's been one of them weeks again. One of our listeners suggested that we review some Linux installations and things like that. And this is kind of in response
was
to
it,
that, right?
Was it Judlin?
I don't know.
Was it based off the app of the week?
No, it was an email.
Oh.
It was an email.
It was an email, and I cannot remember for life me who it was. And,
right.
If I dig for it now, then all we'll have is another 5 minutes of dead air on the show, so it probably wouldn't be a good idea. Anyway, whoever you were, we will find out who you are, and... Anyway, this is in response to your letter, so feel happy.
Talking about Fedora Core 2. Now, I've heard horror stories, and I've heard this and that about Fedora Core 2, and a big complaint about the system requirements that are needed. That's a P3 550 running 128 megs of RAM, I believe.
Yeah, you're supposed to have 190 just to install on.
Mike Carter
like
is who sent it to
Mike
me.
Carter. Thank you, Mike Carter, for being a listener and a questioner person. Something of the Linux something tech show.
Well, basing that...
Writing in, yeah, thanks.
Are you done?
No.
He's just rambling. It's
I'm just rambling on, waiting for someone else to say something, you know?
Based on that requirement... I figured instead of doing a graphical install, I'd do a text install.
Okay.
And I downloaded the 3 Fedora Core 2 CDs. That took, you know, it's nice because I actually downloaded them in a few hours. I downloaded the first 2
yeah,
to one night.
Yeah, new speakeasy account, huh?
And then the next, you know, I woke up the next morning, downloaded the other one, and I was ready to go by Sunday night, and I started Saturday night. It was really sweet. Anyway... Slapped it in, just like, you know, the old-style Red Hat install. They run that Anaconda, did a text-based installation. When it came to partitioning, what was kind of quirky about the partitioning software, I used the Distroid to see what, you know, if they made any improvements. It wasn't hard, but if you go click on the free space, or if you highlight the free space and press enter, you get a different screen than if you highlighted the free space and went down and pressed new partition. And one of the problems was on the one where you just click, you just select it right off the free space, you can say how much space you want to make this partition, but
right.
you have to specify in what is it, the block numbers, where it's like 0 to 625 blocks or whatever, and then and it's like, well, you know, I don't want to sit here and figure that out on
calculate
my fingers. How much is this? But if you go down to the new, it actually allows you to set it by megabytes.
Yeah.
Go figure, huh? That was a little quirky, I thought. Little quirky. I didn't realize I had 2 drives in that thing. So, you know, I was pleasantly surprised that I could install it.
Wow.
And then my partitioning. I went through and I forgot that I had to swap partition. So I had to repartition again. Anyway... The installation.
How can you forget a swap partition, man?
I don't know what I was thinking.
Come on, Dan.
Did it tell you that you need to have one?
Well, yeah, it did. When I was done partitioning, I had to go back and repartition. you know, after that process, it didn't. I don't recall seeing anywhere that allowed me to do like a more customized install where I can choose individual packages. I had categories that were offered to me, and from those categories, I went and I did an install.
Isn't it like work group and? I was just trying to think off of the Red Hat one. Isn't in the beginning, don't you get to choose like work group or
work group and server and
server or custom?
Yeah, it was work group, server, office workstation. There was graphics, games, sound.
What you're saying
sound.
Is they didn't have like a custom one that.
You know, they might have, and I wasn't paying that much attention when I did it, and I should have been paying more attention. I was more interested in seeing where we could go. And another thing that I missed, but I set it up correctly during the install, is in my network configuration, I don't recall it asking me what the default gateway was. And
that could be bad.
Asked me the network configuration before I got to picking the packages. So I tried to go back, but it wouldn't let me go back that far. So I had to just continue on through the installation. I don't know why, but it wouldn't let me go back that far. So I plowed through it. It took a little while to install, of course, because it wanted all three CDs. Now, the three CDs, you got your base systems and packages, and
right.
The second CD is developmental packages, and the third CD, I believe, is like extras.
Okay.
Because I ended up having to use all three CDs. And
the
extras
was your Star Office and stuff, right, or something like that?
No, I don't even think that was on it. It was like 10 megs of packages on the third CD that I needed. It was just some funky stuff. When I was all finished, I had a big choice of window managers, GNOME or KDE. All right? Whoa.
Wow.
Now, it rebooted, and it asked you, you know, to set up the X resolution screen and everything, and then that was all done. It never asked me what run level I wanted to start in. It asked me what security level I wanted, if I wanted to do a security level, which I chose medium, I believe. So when it was all said and
which
done...
Which is why there are no freaking services running on it for us to break into, right?
Well, there wasn't much to run. There was the Apache, the SendMail, and that was about it. SSH, Telnet wasn't installed by default. And then I had to go in... now, I'm not that familiar with Red Hat or Fedora or anything, so by the time I got into the system, you know, when I logged in as root to set things up, of course, you have a choice between KDE, GNOME, or Failsafe Terminal, but it's an X term,
right?
Which I would rather have booted to the command line, and I could have gone in there and manually set the init tab, but... Now... I'm not a big fan of KDE, okay?
Yes.
But I can say that it kind of, out of all, like, the window managers, it's one of the nicer looking ones. With regards to someone coming from a Windows environment, because it kind of looks like Windows, and it kind of has nice flashiness to it, and it's a little colorful, and it doesn't look like some child drew it with crayons like XP does. It's a bloated hog for my use, but I think KDE has a nice,
it's
accommodating interface.
It's a good looking interface. I have no problem whatsoever saying that.
Now,
I use it on a laptop, but again, it's not one
big
of
and
things
fat
you can
and bloated.
Like
that's all.
Right now
either.
On Slack, are you running KDE now?
Yeah.
I've noticed that on Slackware, at least the ones I've run, it looks like the Lilliputians dragged their ass across the top of the toolbars on some applications like Conker or whatever. It's like funky graphics at the top. Is that doing it for you? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like all messed up and straight through. Well, anyway, that aside, Red Hat Fedora has somehow perfected the art of uglifying a desktop.
Uglifying.
They took GNOME and KDE and mixed them all together.
It is ugly.
I think they're still calling it Blue Curve.
It's crap.
Oh, is that the Blue Curve?
It's horrible. It's
not have anything
bland.
Funky going across the top of
it
mine.
Doesn't look exciting. It's not inspiring. It's nothing
it's
like
just
KDE.
Blue.
It's blue, and it's got like a couple icons. The terminal wasn't even there accessible. When I right click,
no,
I don't
go
get
down
a terminal.
On, like services to find the terminal.
Yeah, it was a pain. Yeah. It was a pain in the butt.
Well,
so
KDE looks really good under like Nopix.
Looks good under Nopix. It looks good under Slackware. It looks good under, you know, SUSE. It looks
well, I mean,
like
that's
it's
really the only
to
time I use it is under Nopix. I
right.
looked at it briefly under Slackware, but
it looks like
my
crap.
Wife uses it under Slackware, but I use it under Nopix every now and then if I have to use Nopix. But and it looks really good there, like with the transparent menus and the whole. Yeah.
But not on Red Hat or Fedora. It looks like crap.
And under
it's
Windows.
Disgusting.
That Windows, yeah, a few weeks ago we were talking about that Windows CD that we got in the what magazine was it?
Linux something.
One of those,
Linux format.
Geez, one of those
Linux format,
UK
yeah.
Linux magazines we got had a Windows 4.5 CD or something
that,
like that.
I have a machine that it'll work on.
I got it on a machine a couple of weeks back. And it has, you know, it starts it all up and it puts KDE. KDE is their big thing on there.
Yeah.
Used for a window manager. And that looks really good. It's slower than hell. But it looks really nice, man. You get it, and it's got the transparent menus and the transparent terminals and the transparent this.
It's
and
supposed
the,
to be very friendly.
It's real nice looking, and it looks like it has like just the right options that a Windows user would need.
Yeah,
you know,
they,
if you go through the
put,
menuing
like, you
system,
know,
it's
different internet. You know, or,
yeah, it's
you know, browsers
it's,
on there.
It's like familiar more. Looking to to what they would
it's
want.
It's called
so.
Web browser. To, you
yeah,
know, worry about what it's actually is.
So, you know, it looks pretty, and it looks like it would work just fine, except it's way, way too slow for me. So that didn't last long.
So that said,
yes,
it being a ugly interface, I have no idea what the configuration tools are in Red Hat Fedora anymore. Used to know. LinuxConf used to be, I don't know if that's there anymore. So the first thing I needed to do was set the firewall.
Everything is Red Hat that config or
is that it? I don't
dash
know.
Dash configure and then it's dash and name or something like that. That's what it used to
well,
be.
Well, I was going through the menus, but it was I think it was just the KDE configuration stuff, and I was able to set the firewall so that it would allow Apache whatever. But then Boner here set the wrong IP address for the DNS server to my old IP, not the new one. So I had to go fix that, but I actually had to get down there and hack the sysconfig. Network config ifconfig eth0 file. And I knew that because I remember doing it a long time ago. Because I'm one of those people that would like to just actually go in and hack the file, edit the file instead of running a tool.
You're like
it.
Me. Instead of looking for the tool, I go in the Etsy directory and I use a recursive grep for the IP address. You know, I just find where the hell it is and fix
so,
it that way.
The honeypot went up the day, right the day before that exploit came out, was being publicized about the kernel. So I figured, now, hindsight's 20/20 at the time, it was unnecessary. I figured, well, you know, I don't want to make it that easy to crash the server.
Right.
Because if anybody gains access, they just need to run that code and boom, it goes down. So I'll patch the kernel, right? I didn't install any of the developmental stuff. So I figured, how hard could it be? RPM the stuff in? Because I don't know what the heck I need to run to get the whole package. Needless to say, I sat there for 45 minutes whipping CDs in and out of this thing to fulfill all the dependencies. Because you do the RPM, UVH, and it says, you can't install it because this need, you know, it don't have these dependencies. And you go to try and find these dependencies. And then one of the dependencies was you don't have the kernel headers installed. But the dependency, the RPM is not called kernel headers. It's called the...
Frustrate the hell out of Dan. RPM.
Yeah. And it's like, well, come on. And then it was saying it was a newer version of GCC, and something it wanted an older version was what it was coming up saying, but it would use the old newer version. It was just a mess. It was a mess. Finally, I got everything I needed. And, of course, I'm running, you know, when I want to compile my kernel on a Slack box, I'll run make menu config, right? But on this, I not only did I have to install ncurses, right, to be able to do that, I had to install GTK developmental packages. I had to install Qt developmental packages just in case I would want to run makex config. Even though I don't want to, I had to install all that stuff just so I can install the kernel headers so I can compile it.
So, but here's the question: like, if you said this is three CDs, right?
Three CDs.
All right, three CDs worth of crap that is so broken that you cannot fix your damn kernel. Can't compile software after loading three CDs into this thing. This is why I stay away from the Red Hat kind of stuff.
And you know what my final mistake was after I compiled the kernel?
What's that?
Because all I did was I grabbed the config file out of the boot partition. I put it in there. And then I patched the kernel and ran make, you know, compile the kernel, set up grub to boot it. And guess what I forgot?
What?
Guess what it doesn't do?
What?
It does not have the modules for your file system compiled into the kernel. It does that init, the init rd image.
Right.
So that you load the image so that it has the module so you can find the root partition to load the kernel, to load the module that has the root in the root partition. So I couldn't boot the new kernel because I didn't create the init rd image. At which point, Mark was yelling at me, why are you patching a kernel? We just want a default install. So I figured I'm not going to go through that whole thing again.
Like,
to hell with it.
Piss on it. It's done.
That was it. That was the end of that. But all in all, the Fedora install went fairly smooth. I'm not a big fan of the Red Hat Fedora distribution. I would rather, if I was building a server system, that it wasn't so heavily dependent upon X.
Right.
I can't give an honest review of it based upon the fact that I didn't take the time to learn what the configuration tools are or read any of the documentation. I don't like the layout of the blue curve. I don't think it's, you know, they say it's business desktop, looks plain and drab. I don't like it. It's just uninspiring. It's like a cubicle.
Yeah,
it's
see, now, I don't go for that.
Flat.
I don't go for that drab business desktop crap because, like, I work at a business, and if you walked around and look at some of these people's desktop, you should see some of the crap that they have on there. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's got their backgrounds changed, and they got the little... Yeah, the little kids are on the screensavers, and they have... You know, all kinds of garbage going on. The little weather thing.
They got the pictures taped around the outside
of
the monitor,
They get the ticker tape thing going with the stock stuff going. And you know what I mean? There's not anything
but
drab
and
regular.
Because I get this at work. I watch people. And these are the same people that are sitting there going, my system is so slow.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what they got, the weather bug on there and the stock ticker
and
14 browser windows.
Patriotic, but get rid of the little the waving flag down on the bottom corner there on it because it's killing you.
The little waving flag at the bottom and they got all the little stuff and the little email dudes that come out and say, you have mail. And what else do they have going on? All the, you know, the funky screensavers and the little desktop applets from the local news stations and, you know, MP3 players going, and then they have 15 browser windows open and 14 Excel spreadsheets, a couple of Word docs, and then they start saying, well, I don't understand why my system's so slow.
Gee, I wonder why.
Gee. Could be the fact that you have, you know, 85 apps open and you're running under 64 megs of RAM.
You know? And continuing on with the Fedora blue curve, go to GNOME, the new versions of GNOME 2.6, 2.7. There's a lot of hoopla about the Spatial Nautilus file system. Have you guys read any of that?
I have.
Where?
Yes.
Instead of, by default, and it's hard to, it's not readily apparent how to change it. You actually have to edit a configuration file in an editor or using whatever. Anyway, in the file system, if you're going to browse through it, it opens each directory in a new window.
Yeah.
And kind of like the way OS 9 and earlier were set by default with spring open new windows.
Right.
Old versions of Windows 95, Windows 3.1, and then they switched over to everything opens up inside its own little window. Yeah, right. Now, I don't know what your opinion is on this, but there's an article over on OS News, an opinion article, by Radoslav Sokol, and I'm probably butchering his name, who says that the spatial Nautilus type browsing is the way to go. That you shouldn't be looking at your file system at like a web browser type thing, but you should be opening up. That makes the most sense. And the reason why people have such a hard time with the spatial Nautilus is because they have sloppy, disorganized file system.
Well, because my file manager opens up in a separate window every time I click on a folder, it's sloppy.
No, that's the spatial Nautilus thing.
That's the way he's saying that. The reason why people don't like spatial Nautilus is that it's a sloppy file system management on their part. That they're not treating the file system properly.
You know, maybe I can see maybe where he's coming from. Maybe he's coming from the point that, when you organize your directory structures better and your different kinds of files under different directory structure, you can have multiple windows open with those types of files and it's easier to find them. Yeah. Whereas if you're not using the quote unquote spatial Nautilus type of thing and all your stuff is staying in one window, all you have is this file system with gigantic numbers of stuff in it that you have to kind of hunt and peck through, maybe.
What he says, and I'm going to quote him exactly from the article, is what is the real cause of all these attacks on Spatial Nautilus? In his opinion, it is just bad file organization coupled with a bunch of old bad habits. It's really hard to use a spatial file browser if someone keeps his or her files in a 10-folder deep structure. Browser mode file browsers hide the lack of thought and organization in the file system structure. Spatial ones do not. Folder structure should be simple and as shallow as possible, and the master folders, kind of like the My Music or My Images folders that people are familiar with in Windows, should be shortcuts on the GNOME panel so that playing your favorite song would only require opening My Music from the panel. He's saying that your directory structure should be very shallow. Which, if my directory structure was very shallow, and I admit I have some poor file organization habits, because every so often I have to go through my home directory and some of my other directories and just wipe out all the crud that's accumulated. And even though I don't want 20 windows opening up. I prefer a browser-like thing. What he equates to the browser-type file manager is like reading a book. You can open a page and then you can go to a next page, but you have to turn back to go to the other page.
Right.
Whereas he says the spatial is more like blah, 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 blah. I can't find it. Not like a book.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I know what he's saying, but you know what? I personally like Rock's desktop filer. And one of the things I like about that is that it does both natively, spatial and non-spatial file management.
Uh-huh.
Initially, it does non-spatial file management, where you click on the next directory, and it just zooms you into that directory. However,
which I think is more convenient to me.
If you use a different key combination to do it, it will open up the next directory in a different window for you, which is the new and improved spatial file management system, which Rocks has already had for years.
You just right-click on something.
Yeah, right.
Open a new window.
Right.
Something like that.
So I kind of like that, and I'm happy with that. And couple that with the fact that that plus any other window manager in the world is four times as thin as KDE, I'm happy.
Well,
ba-dum-bum.
What's going to happen now is more file managers are going to incorporate a spatial capability, and then no one's going to decide to go to the X-Cruise model, where you could cruise through your file system and blast copy, you know. And if you've never seen X-Cruise, you're missing something pretty interesting there.
That was cool.
It's
I don't
neat.
Know how... it's cool to play with, but I don't know how... I think if I had to use that in business daily to get around and do some important stuff...
You wouldn't be using a computer anymore.
It would annoy the living hell out of me.
Wait a minute. Here we go. It's like a first-person shooter.
Yeah,
there's that.
Just a
there's
minute.
That
I have to... I can't get that spreadsheet yet. I have to pass the Klingon mothership. But it is cool to play with, though. If you stick it out, you check it out. It's pretty neat.
Wasn't there a process killer that was based on Doom?
I think so.
You want to kill a process, you actually shot
You had to shoot it or something. There's all kinds of nifty stuff like that. I don't know. Perhaps that's something for another show, because we are at 10 past the hour. Why is it that I have always got to be the bringer of bad news and tell everybody that they have to shut up now?
Because you're the only
one who... Does your clock not work on your laptop, Dan?
No, I'm reading some other time.
Alan, yeah, I can't blame Alan because he doesn't say anything anyway. At least he could use sign language like...
I have been quiet today, and I apologize for that.
You had to fart today, what?
No, I said I've been quiet today.
Oh, quiet farts, yeah. And I thought it was the dog.
Maybe silent,
blaming it on Shasta.
Oh, you played. I don't think we may mention this, but you played the Lug Radio promo. But the episode 10 of Lug Radio was released.
Yeah, that's
today.
Right. It was released today, and it's really... Have you listened to it yet?
No, I'm going. I have it, but I'm going to be putting it on the...
It's good.
Tonight.
It's pretty funny, man. You got to check it out.
I look forward to listening to it.
And speaking of that, Lug Radio people. Guys, when you say that your show is going to be out on Monday, you know, you got listeners that listen to that, and you don't release it until Wednesday, we kind of wonder what the hell's going on, you know?
But that builds
I know you're
the
busy,
anticipation
but
and excitement.
Next time, just say it'll be out on Wednesday. I need my... No, I listen to these shows at work, right? Because, I don't know, what better to listen to than, like, the Linux Links open source stream? You listen to that stuff, you listen to... Lug Radio and Slug Radio and our show, of course, and, you know, maybe a couple others. There's Dan dropping his crap again. What else are we listening to? Ken Radio. You ever listen to Ken Radio? It's a Windows geeky thing, but it's like, Ken, it's pretty good. The guy's sort of annoying, but it's something to listen to. So I listen to him, too, and I listen to these shows at work, and if I want, you know, I have a schedule down. And I'm waiting to hear these shows when they're released. And if they don't release them for 2 days after they say they're going to get released, I get antsy about it, man. I have to keep checking back.
Well, maybe they're on the same schedule as the Linux Daily.
The Linux Daily, which has been the Linux Weekly and bimonthly. And
they haven't been daily since April, so I don't know. I wish they
weren't,
get back on.
The Linux Daily, I'm going to tell you right now, and you can go back and look in the archives if you want to, and prove me right. The Linux Daily was not daily the very first week. The very first week they missed a day. An extra day.
Well, they were just getting started then.
Yeah, but like didn't they say that they were going to do the Linux Daily? They were working on it for like months and months and months. This big project we're working on, and it's big, huge, and it's the Linux Daily, and then... Months I keep hearing about this thing, and it finally comes out, and they get like 2 days that week. And then it hasn't been solid since.
Well,
right?
Hey. Well, the somebody who was doing their server got sick, from what I heard.
More power to you.
But you know.
The Linux Show, hey, you know, we know that you guys don't want to support anybody but yourselves, but we still like Linux, so you guys just do what you do, man.
But we can talk about the weather right now. And it's very hot where
and
I'm at.
And the fact that we sit in the sauna now.
Yeah, Alan, how's the weather over where you are?
It's warm. Since I had to close the door to keep the dog out, I had to close the dog. But anyways, it got warmer in here.
Yeah, and way over where I'm at, you know, it's warm over here, too. How about over on your coast there, Dan?
Hold on a second. yeah,
that'd
I think
be the storm over there.
A thunder. Wait, I'm.
You forget. You gotta have the beeps in there too. Beep.
The taxi. Right now. Wait a second. We're going through a tunnel. Hold on.
Beep. Oh, we lost Doc. I mean Dan for the duration of the show.
Hello. 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 Wait. Hello. 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 Hello.
This is. This our parody show.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Eric.
Three guesses if you know who we're making a parody of.
And, you know, like I said, I think I've only...
You forgot the most important
like
part,
three
though.
Times.
What?
The part where you fall asleep at the second half of the show.
First half.
Dan can't manage to listen to a whole show.
I listen to the Linux show every week. I will. I like listening to the Linux show.
You just miss part of it, that's all.
Oh, wait, hold on. Alan, I know what you can do, Alan. You can sit there through the whole show and just go, shh.
Beep. Beep.
We'll dig up sounds of the city.
Sounds of the city, a little static. We'll talk about the weather for an hour, and then we'll...
You got to give them credit, though, because, to an extent, because they are, like, all over the country when they do this.
Right.
So.
Well, like...
There's some logistics.
No, but look,
involved.
Like, these guys have a professional crew, quote-unquote, and they have a budget, evidently, right?
Uh-huh.
A budget for doing this.
I don't know. They were telling us their bills are really expensive.
Yeah, they're telling us that for some reason the show that they do that, you know, that we've already been doing and it doesn't cost us anything, cost them like a lot of money. But they have a budget for doing this kind of stuff, yet, you know, we managed to get our show rolling over here with, I would say a better sound quality and, you know... A lot less money, and we don't have that kind of a... We're just sitting here on a freaking folding table, man.
Can you imagine?
Donated equipment, Radio Shack, microphones, and a folding table. A wrestling table, no less.
The wrestling
Can you imagine
table?
If we actually had Eric Raymond call up, and then we started talking about the hoagie guy during the conversation? he'd probably just hang up on it. I mean, what would he say? What would he say? I'd be interested.
I bet, you know what, Eric Raymond, I bet he has his own stories about the hoagie guy. Or someone like that, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's got some kind of stories like that. At least it loosened him up a little bit. Eric, man, here's your chance. You just let us know. We'll get you hooked up so you can talk on our show.
We got to get the hybrid working first.
We'll do it. Would
he be considered local?
We'll figure it out.
Would that be a local call?
He's in Pennsylvania, right?
He's down near Malvern.
Yeah.
That's not too far away.
Shit, let's just show up on his doorstep one day and do a show from his house.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd like that.
He doesn't have to let us in. We can do it from his patio or something. I don't know.
Let us in. We're here.
Open up, man. It's the tech show.
You're not obeying the bottle there. You're not grasping here.
Yes, I am not. I am grasping in an inappropriate spot. My iced tea bottle.
Isn't Brian down there? Is he still in Collegeville? Isn't that down there by Philadelphia?
Yes.
So he's not far away from Malvern, is he?
I have no idea where the hell Malvern is. So.
Well, Malvern...
If it's by Philly, yeah.
He's not that far away from Derby, Upper Derby.
If you say so.
Which is not too far away from Valley Forge, King of Prussia area.
Okay.
Is that where Collegeville is?
It's down there by Philly somewhere.
So they're in the general vicinity of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then the BC Lug's down there, too.
Right. Something.
Yeah.
Something. Pat says he's having Linus, Eric Raymond, and RMS over for a hot tub party.
Does Pat have a hot tub?
I don't know.
Because if he has a hot tub and a shower, I'm there. I got some shaving to do.
Woo! Okay there, Hoagie Boy.
Yeah.
It's really a story about Dan.
Yeah. I kept dropping.
It's not really a hoagie shirt. They're Linux t-shirts. Yeah.
Yeah. I kept dropping my soap in the shower. And I'd end up dropping it across the other end of the shower. Like, oops, there's my soap. Like, let me get that.
You're sicko.
Yeah.
You're a sicko. Wait a minute.
That's one thing, you know, you learn that you don't do. You don't really talk to people when you're taking a shower or walking around.
You know what? That's
the bathroom nude.
It's another thing that irritates me. You ever go into like the bathroom somewhere and you're taking a leak at the urinal, and a guy standing next to you wants to talk to you about something?
Yes, wants to talk business.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Talk about anything. I don't care what the hell you want to talk about. When I'm, you know, holding on to that thing, watering the garden over there, I don't want to talk to anybody about anything.
It's the same with people who
don't say hi, how you doing?
It's the same with people who are in the crapper and talking on the phone. I'm sorry. It's like there's nothing that's that important, you know? Put the phone away and do your business. I don't need to hear it, and we don't need to hear it in an echo either. Yeah.
No, but I like get unnerved when someone starts talking to me in the urinal, you know?
Didn't we go to the movies or something one time, and we had to use the restroom afterwards, or was it the show? And you were using the urinal, and I came up and patted your back.
I don't remember. You would do something like that, though.
Because that's funny when you do that. You rub somebody's shoulder. Really freaks people out. It's funny.
Next time we go to the movies, we'll do that. I'll pat your butt for you. Hey, baby.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk to people when I'm going to bathroom. When you go in the bathroom, I don't want to take a dump in a public bathroom. Because, you know, you go in there, and sometimes you go in there, and there's a guy in there doing it. He's like, and he's making all these noises, and you're just thinking, man, feel bad for that guy. I just hope I'm out of here before he comes out, because I don't want to see his face and know that he knows that I heard him doing something nasty in there.
Yeah, but
I don't want to be that guy.
Guys are different. Yeah, most guys don't care. You know what I mean? I really don't care. If someone goes in and is in the stall and they're doing their thing and they're and you hear the splashes like Niagara Falls, it really doesn't bother me. Women get completely grossed out about that stuff. Completely grossed out. Like, you know, you hear women coming out of the bathroom and they're talking about someone who's dropping a bomb in there, and they're like ready to, you know, barf on you or something like that.
My
it doesn't really bother me. You know?
My one of my good friends in high school was working at IGA that was
in
Moundville.
I'd go into a stall and make noises just to do it.
He was telling me that one day someone took a dump in the urinal.
Oh, man.
And his boss told me he had to go clean it up, and he was like, hell no. So he went in there, and he poured, like, Drano on it or something, and it blew up all over the bathroom.
Oh, man.
So he left. He left for the day. That's got to be a mess.
Oh, dude.
That's something evil.
Drano on it. Drano on a log, man.
Exploding poo.
You know, thanks to your wife for adding that little bit of feminine hygiene information onto the...
Yeah, it's right.
You know, I don't...
You should hear, man, the stories that women have to tell about the things...
Now, I got to ask you a question. Wow. I'm probably going to get my ass kicked if my wife listens to this episode. But, now, I've lived with guys, and... That didn't come out right. Wait, let me clarify that.
I was like holding my tongue on that.
Both Alan and I are looking at each other going, where's the punchline?
And when I was over at Penn State, I had roommates. And the bathroom, it would get kind of cruddy looking, like black stains and stuff, like greasy kind of stains. But now, there's kind of like certain body fluid kind of stains in the bathroom, like, and it's all from the female side going there.
Oh, man.
You gotta learn. I mean, I don't know. Do you ever have to deal with that?
Yes, however, I got married
By the way, your toilet looks really nice.
Yes, my toilet is really,
really
clean.
I was surprised.
Really
I was like,
have to come over and see this
damn,
toilet.
Look at that.
It is, it's pretty, man. I'm telling you. I got a new toilet last week.
And I didn't know that, and I thought, wow,
it's, man,
man,
it's beautiful.
Your wife really keeps that toilet nice.
Hell yeah, man. Jeez. No, she keeps it nice anyway most of the time. But
I was like if you go in my bathroom right now, the only thing that's saving the grace is Avery dumped out the whole big bottle of liquid soap, like the big refill bottle all over the floor. So there's a little bit of disinfection going on in there right now. But
provided you don't, like, slip along the floor.
Oh, you know what was really bad? I walked in there the other day. Now, our toilet is not, for some reason, the water pressure in there, is, so it takes a really long time to fill up. So someone goes in there to the bathroom, and then they flush, and they go. Someone else comes in there. And they go use the bathroom, and they can't flush it for a while. So, you know, they go and they come back. And there was, like, somebody took a dump in there, and it was kind of cruddy, and it was in there for a while.
Yummy.
And I go in there, and the dog's drinking out of the toilet. I was like, oh, it was the most disgusting thing. I'm like, you filthy pig. It was gross. And then so it's, she's got it all drooling out of her mouth and
just
stuff.
Just,
and you
just stop,
like,
man. Oh. This is bad. Dude, we got it. We're done. This is it. Look at the time. It's 25 after.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
We're done.
You, the
hey,
poo humor.
Thank you for listening to the Linux Link Poo Show.
Yeah, thank you. We'll see you next week. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends, yes.
And your moms.
That's right.
And happy Father's Day to all the papas out there.
That's right. See you next week.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Pull in the Flink Tech Show. Pull in the Flink Tech Show.